he's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday, December the 26th edition of the Best Stocks Now show. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, the hardest working guys in the industry. We're doing a live show on this Friday. Well, everybody else is playing a tape from Monday, you know, Barry, but we're doing it live here today. We've got kind of a little bit of a drifting market here this morning. The Dow is down 28 points after hitting a new all-time high on Christmas Eve. It's at 48,703. The NASDAQ is now down 15 points at 23,598. It's still about 300 points below its all-time high, but maybe, who knows, by the end of the year we get there, another new high. The S&P hit a new all-time high on Christmas Eve. It is up 1 point today on very light volume, as most people are in the Poconos, the Hamptons, you know. 6933 on the S&P. Russell 2000 down 0.5% right now. Last I looked, the bond market was behaving itself. The bond market is at 4.12. How about gold? Another new high today, 4,561, the second best asset class of the year behind silver, which has had a sizzling year, and Bitcoin is up $1,140. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I hope you all had a Merry Christmas yesterday and a great Christmas Eve. We've got a full day. As far as I know, it's a full day in the market today.
Yeah, I think
the volume's going to be really, really light.
Yeah, the bond market might close early.
Leading stocks on Christmas Eve, and they were trading at about 25 to 30% of their normal volume. I'm going to guess today it will be even less than that, maybe down around 20% of their normal volume. But the market is open, and I will be going through charts of all of our stocks today and go through the A-plus momentum list, go through the Best Stocks Now list, which it has grown to over 900 stocks with a grade of B-plus or more.
That shows you the breadth, right, of the market.
We're a little bit overbought right here. We have had a pretty decent couple of weeks, and doesn't mean that we can't continue to go higher. But when we get up in that 900 range of B-plus or better ranked stocks, that's a little overblown. Normally, we're at about 400, 500, somewhere in there. We finished off the day Friday, again, with the new record highs on the Dow. And a new record high on the S&P 500. All-time highs, not 52-week highs, not 5-month highs, not 3-month highs, all-time highs. And we've got that forward P.E. ratio right now on the S&P at 22.8.
That was
22.8. All right, it's getting up there in that rarefied air, very close to the ceiling that it's been bumping its head on recently, which is 23. Doesn't mean we can't break through there and march on to 24, but you're looking at a 5-year high is 23, just over 23, 23.05, somewhere in there. Maybe it was 23.5 is the 5-week high. It was there for just a couple of days back in 2021, and then it fell from grace. Also, you've got to keep in mind that the 5-year average forward PE is 20, and we're at almost 23.
And that number's creeped up over the years. It's interesting. It used to be, you know, for a while there, we used to quote, 17.5 or 18, and, the 10-year, yeah. Remember the 10-year P.E. Schiller at 14, right?
Well, the 10-year average right now is 18.5. Yeah. So right. To be at 22.8, we're in rarefied air. So, you know, look, you've got to know that that's one of the risks as we go into 2026 is the market valuation. And I go back to the year 2000, the dot-com bubble, as the closest comparison that we have to where we are today. And then 2021, which was the sugar high year. But the difference there is the Fed went on the warpath after that. And now we're facing the opposite with hopefully, you know, several rate cuts in 2026. Right now I'm hearing two. That seems to be the consensus, two rate cuts. On Friday, Micron hit another new high. That's probably one of the hottest stocks in the market right now. It was up another 3.8%, actually on Christmas Eve on Wednesday. Citigroup also, the financials, very strong. Goldman Sachs, Citigroup, a few others. Citigroup hit a new all-time high. Taiwan Semiconductor had a really good day on Christmas Eve, as did GE Vernova. Western Digital, Constellation Energy, and Lam Research, they were all good performers on Friday. And, of course, I think the biggest number this week and the most astonishing and surprising wow number was the U.S. GDP climbing 4.3%, beating consensus. You know, there's a moment there in the great movie White Christmas, which, you know, it's one of my favorites this time of year. My wife and I, that's a Christmas tradition to watch White Christmas together. She always gets out the handkerchiefs and can't get through without crying. Yeah. But, you know, they're up in Vermont, and Bing Crosby calls down to New York and gets a prize for bringing the whole crew of the show up to Vermont to do the show from Vermont. Of course, they got to transfer everybody via train. And the guy gives him a price over the phone. You don't hear what it is. He just goes, wow. And Danny Kaye, after that, he goes, Bob, how much is wow? How much is wow? He just said, wow. He wouldn't say what wow was. But the wow was GDP 4.3%. 4.3% on the GDP. And we had a favorable jobs, initial jobless claims report. On Wednesday, on Christmas Eve. So,
on the economic side, yeah, I mean, we've seen, you know, seen really, you know, not positive numbers on the economic side, which has been bad news for the interest rate side.
For the Fed, right. For those interest rate cut hopes, more interest rate cuts. Gimme. China hits 20 U.S. firms with sanctions over Taiwan arms sale. I got to believe that 2026, there's going to be a lot of turmoil and fear around the whole China-Taiwan situation. You know, I mean, a lot of people say that 2027 is earmarked, that that's the year they're going to do it. But, you know, you never telegraph when you're going to do it. You do it when people least expect it. That is a possibility in 2026. And really, the ante went up big time leading up to the Christmas holidays as we sold a lot of arms to Taiwan, which is very provocative, you know, with Xi and China, obviously. But we back Taiwan. We defend Taiwan. The sanctioned companies include Northrop Grumman, L3 Harris, Boeing's operations in St. Louis, Missouri, which is, you know, bent towards more of a defensive type of equipment that they build there. So the rhetoric heats up. The provocative moves by China circling the island of Taiwan heats up. And then, of course, Japan is now involved heavily in that, as there's a big rift between Japan and China. Japan has a very strong navy, so they're not exactly a pushover. But I think Japan will be a big one to watch this year with them raising interest rates for the first time in decades. You know, money doesn't like unfriendly feds, and usually money will move out of, number one, the Japan bonds. Number one, you're not earning much on those bonds. And number two, you would think they're going to go down in value with them raising interest rates. So with money leaving the Japan bond market, that will also drive interest rates higher in Japan, which impacts the carry trade. And it doesn't affect earnings of companies here in the U.S. or the forward PE or the growth rates or anything, but the easy money has disappeared. And we're going to watch inflation and the Japan economy in 2026. We'll be right back.
I'm your native son. I'm the train they call the city of New Orleans. I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done.
Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Here's my favorite comment I got from a follower, a subscriber on Seeking Alpha, Barry. You know, I have my my chat room there in Seeking Alpha, and my subscribers, they get the same thing the subscribers outside of Seeking Alpha get. They get the comments during the day. Everything that is on Seeking Alpha, the subscribers through Gunderson Capital Management also get. But this guy wrote to me, said, Merry Christmas, Bill. Thanks for making my capital gains taxes the highest ever. Okay. That warms my heart. Okay.
There you go.
I love capital gains.
Stuff
all right?
In the stocking.
Yes, and I wrote back to him. I said, you'll get a thank you card from the IRS this year. He goes, oh, man, thanks for reminding me. But that's a good thing. Look, we're in it for capital gains. We're not in it for collecting meager dividends. While the stock goes down every time the dividend is paid, we're in it for capital gains. I mean, that's what's really made fortunes for people in the market over the years. If you consider that when I got in the business, the Dow was at 4,000 and now it's at 48,000, that's a lot of capital gains along the way. So anyways, happy with that. Another surprise here in 2025, you know, gold is at a 40-year inverse correlation with the stock market, Barry. As a CFA, you probably know that usually gold goes the other way from the stock market.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, historically, you know, the last 100 years, you know, the stock market's actually been a better inflation hedge, right, than gold in general. But yeah, I mean, you know, this year in terms of differential, in terms of return differential, right, it's had the most, inverse correlation to the market than it has. I mean, you know, historically, you owned it because it wasn't correlated, right, to the market. Because, you know, you're right. It used to do a lot of, you know, I always used to joke around that gold would always do the thing that you think it shouldn't do, right? I mean, best, most recent example was COVID. You had inflation through the roof and gold really didn't do much,
no.
Right? I mean, so it's just, it's always just one of those interesting, you know, asset classes, which I believe gold is one of the most referenced things in the Bible, right? In terms of money, and just, you know, one of the things that's been written about the most probably economically over the years. And it's the one thing that's, you know, really a conundrum a lot of times because there's so many different things that affect it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is very strange to have a positive correlation. Is this the two asset classes now, trading in lockstep with each other? Has that broken forever, the negative correlation between the two? Or is gold signaling an issue for the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ again, which it has in the past, but it's very unusual to see a year where gold went up considerably, and along with the stock market, S&P is at about 16%, somewhere in there right now, and the Dow is about 11%, 12%, somewhere in there right now. So that's another one of the unusual things that we've seen here in 2026. And we've also learned a lot about crypto in my book. You know, people flock to gold, and they were flocking to crypto. They ran it up to 125,000. You have backing by the White House, the administration, and so, all of a sudden the bottom fell out.
Felt like they went, you know, your whoever was in Bitcoin took their money and went over to silver in the last in the last few months. If you look at that parabolic move, you had a 30% or so pullback in Bitcoin, and you've had just a huge move in silver over that period.
But who'd have ever thought we'd see $75 an ounce on silver and gold over 4,500, and platinum also hitting record highs? So it's been a meteoric year for the precious metals. What will 2020?
It's the only thing moving today, too. It's funny. I'm looking at, basically the S&P flat, NASDAQ flat, Dow flat. I'm looking at gold up 1.11%.
Yes.
Metal traders are
high.
In.
Not participating in anything right now. Santa rally leaves Bitcoin behind. Bitcoin is trading in the high 80,000s right now after hitting 125,000. Be interesting. I hope I get invited. I haven't heard from my friends up in New York about coming back to ring the bell on Wall Street, the NASDAQ. But, everybody but me chose last year their Bitcoin as their top pick for 20. Oh, there was one other guy that had some
and
small
cap. They looked right for an extended period of time, and of course, the last half of the year, it got it's been a rough go. Yeah, if they got out at the right time, they would probably they were right. The only difference is it didn't last all year.
No, I mean it just goes to show you that you have to be a chart watcher and notice when those trends start to change and take action. I mean, I think that the market has changed a lot during my 25 years in the business. It's gotten to be where there's quicker moves and they fade fast, and it's definitely momentum enters the picture. And that's why I built the app. Half of it is momentum, moving the ball down the field, flooding the zone with Air Coryell and those passes to Kellen Winslow and JJ on the outside, and just keep the ball moving and keep the other side off balance. But when that momentum starts to shift, man, I'll tell you what, you can get some steep corrections, 35, 40% in even some of the leading stocks. So I just think that it's a little bit different market with every, now you've got people, they can make a move in seconds on their iPhone over there at Robinhood, right?
And probably buying silver.
Move my Bitcoin to silver. But eventually, silver money will go back to Bitcoin at some point in time. And you just kind of have to watch these currents change. It's not all of that different from the ocean. I was a guy that during the summertime and fall in San Diego, the tuna would migrate off of our Pacific Ocean about 50 to 100 miles out, and they'd be biting in one area like crazy, maybe for a few weeks, and then all of a sudden that's a desert. They've totally left that area, and they're up around Catalina Island or San Clemente Island, totally different areas. It moves like the schools of tuna off of San Diego. So I kind of grew up watching momentum fade, momentum rise, and knowing when to change course a little bit. Okay, when we come back, how bullish are you on 2026? We'll take a look at the American Association of Individual Investors. Where is that number right now? We'll be right back.
Don't understand anymore. Well, the top brass don't like him talking so much, and he won't play what they say to play.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. I'm just looking at a few trends here this morning. The quantum stocks are selling off. And, you know, there's a defiance as inverse ETFs on, for instance, QBTS. They have a 2x short. It's up 16.4% today. Rocket Labs, which is really finishing up the year on a strong note, it's selling off a bit today. There is an inverse ETF on that, RKLZ. It's up 15.8% right now. And then IONQ, I-O-N-Q, is another quantum stock. The inverse quantum on that 2x is up 13.2% this morning. Rigetti is selling off today. The ETF that is inverse that is up 11.1% today. And then the crypto-related stocks are selling off. Bitmine Immersion, which is one of Kathy Wood's favorites, BMNR. There's an inverse on that, BMNZ. It's up 8.8% today. And the chart of the day, once again, just parabolic at this point in time, is SLV, silver. Hi-ho, silver away, said the Lone Ranger. And it's up 5.3% again today, SLZ, silver. You know what else is finishing up the year pretty strong is NVIDIA. That's a good chart on NVIDIA.
Yeah, do you see that purchase? They had they're buying a for a second when I read it, I thought it was Grok.
I did too. It's spelled differently, though.
Yeah, it is. It is $20 billion for a small chip maker, so designer chip maker. So must have some technology that they're willing to get, because I believe earlier this year. They recently raised some money, I think, and got maybe an $8 billion plus valuation. So them to essentially buy them for $20 billion in the same year is a pretty hefty premium. So,
well, if you look over the last 5 years, it's number one. It's the story of this last 5 years, was reaching almost $5 trillion in market cap and going into the Dow.
Yeah.
That's just unheard of, and no wonder it's been our largest position, and it remains our largest position. It's still, if you look at it from a peg ratio point of view, honestly, I can see it going to $8 trillion here over the next couple of years. Now, we don't know when that seminal moment comes along, like in AI it happened with DeepSeek, but that didn't last very long. It sent a shudder through the whole AI sector when China came up with an answer to ChatGPT, saying that they didn't need as many NVIDIA chips, but I don't think they were being honest about that. But, you know, someday someone will come along. As more than likely, it'll be out of China. I mean, China eventually came up with...
they're the ones most incented. They're the ones most incented to design it, or at least come up with it, reverse engineer it, whatever, because they're the ones that were obviously curbing those chips too. So yeah, if there's anyone who's going to create it, it's going to be out of necessity, right? By China.
Whether it's Alibaba or Huawei, look, they came up with an answer to the iPhone. Huawei copied the iPhone or whatever you want to call it. I'm sure they used mostly Apple technology reverse engineered. I got to believe they're working 24/7 to come up with an answer to the NVIDIA chip. I don't know what the barriers are there. Obviously, it's not easy to do to copy what Jensen Huang and his company have done. You know, China came up with an answer to Tesla and crushed Tesla in that market. And, of course, Huawei sells more phones than Apple now in China. They took over that market. And I think at some point in time it will come from China.
Electric vehicles?
AMD.
Yeah, look
or
at electric
Broadcom.
Vehicles. Right.
Yeah, and electric vehicles, they've come up with an answer to almost everything. So we'll see. But for now, NVIDIA, to me, still has more upside potentials. We begin the new year. Bullish sentiment is at 37.4. Well, that means 62.6 are negative on the market. The negative people have been wrong on the market here for the last several years. You haven't made money being a bear on the market, for sure. And I think this year, I mean, it seems to me like the trend that is in place now, which is another axiom. I don't know if they taught that in chart school, but I learned it on the streets. The trend is your friend until, right? You say that the trend that is now in place is the trend until it breaks. And that's just the way the trend in the market, the trend in earnings, the trend in the economy are all sloping upward still. So that is the trend as we enter 2026 until further notice, until the trends start to break. And, you know, usually the hottest trends, the most parabolic trends, which would be silver, gold, platinum right now, would be the ones that, and the mining stocks would be the ones that are most vulnerable. Military spending. South Korea and the U.S. are moving forward with a nuclear sub-cooperation deal. It's obvious that Trump believes in nuclear subs, and we, Huntington Ingalls, is our answer here in the U.S., we just don't have, somehow we don't have the manpower or the capacity right now to build these things. And South Korea is working, wrapping up negotiations with Washington on arrangements to secure nuclear fuel supplies for submarines. And man, talk about boots on the ground. I'm with these guys every Sunday.
Right.
That are in and teaching these kids nuclear, and I've noticed that they've ramped up. We used to not have so many people in that nuclear program here in Charleston.
Now you got
there's a lot of them now, and they go to basic training up at the Great Lakes. That's where these guys go, and they have to have an aptitude for mathematics. They have to get a certain score on their math test. Now, my son-in-law says, that's nothing. I don't know. I mean, these kids are pretty sharp that I'm talking to.
You got to get through the door regardless, right?
Yes, and then they're sent to nuclear school here in Charleston, and then some of them become instructors, and then they're sent out. One kid left last Sunday. He's going to be assigned to a submarine up in Groton, Connecticut, which is where my father went at the World War II submarine school. And he's going to be a part of the team that keeps the nuclear reactors fed and working. So anyways, and with them building now new nuclear subs, you got a kid that gets out of high school, man, I'll tell you what, to get an education on nuclear by the Navy, I keep telling these guys, you guys are going to be sitting pretty when you're out in the real world. Not that the Navy's not the real world, but in private industry. And he says also they're being taught all about the small modular reactors, which the Navy is going to incorporate a lot of. A lot of the technology for those things is coming from the Navy because they're needed to run the weapons systems now, nuclear reactors. Okay, Biohaven, they're kind of depressed over there this morning. Their depression drug, a trial setback, down 15%. Biohaven's been strong.
That's got to be a knockdown when your depression drug doesn't make it, right? A double depression.
No, and they can't even take their depression drug to overcome their depression because apparently it doesn't work all that well. So that's a tough day right before Christmas and everything. NVIDIA and Broadcom are ripe for outperformance in 2026, says Cantor Fitzgerald. I just said it a minute ago. I think both of those stocks, although they're cooling off, I mean, they're decelerating. You're not getting 255% quarters anymore. You're only getting 40%, 50% quarters. But Cantor Fitzgerald agrees with me, and I would say those are the top two along with AMD. Those are your top chip stocks. They dominate the sector. You don't need to own the semiconductor ETF because a bunch of those stocks are really bad in there. Microchip technology and a lot of just the other plain vanilla type chip makers, low-end chip makers. You really only need to own the three or four that dominate the sector. Why not? Why waste? Why water down your returns? Okay, we're going to look to outer space when we come back and some of the big players there and some of the top performers from this last year. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. What do we have here in the final quarter of the show? Well, let's go. You know, the defense industry has changed a lot. Now we're talking drones. We're talking rocket ships. We're talking AI. All kinds of different things. Here are some of the top performing stocks from 2025. Astronix, ATOR, up 247%. Kratos, up 212%. Rocket Labs, which we owned off and on during the year, it's kind of the publicly traded version. I mean, everybody's waiting for, SpaceX.
SpaceX, yeah.
But I guess SpaceX is a lot bigger than Rocket Labs. Let's just take a look.
Yeah, I talked to a client who works for SpaceX, and they it's pretty interesting. And just in terms of the liquidity that they provide, their employees, they give them stock awards, and they can invest in the employee stock purchase plan. But they have actual liquidity periods where for a private company you tend not to have that, and so
no.
And they actually have, really makes a market for the company stock. So some of your employees can go ahead and get a bit of a payout before, not have to leave the company or have the company go public. So, it's just pretty interesting. And that's going to be a big story likely for 2026 is are they going to go public or are they not going to go public?
I think they are for sure because Elon Musk told them we're entering into our quiet period, which they do, I think, 60 days before an IPO. But I look, Rocket Labs is a $38 billion company, which is a big company. I mean, that puts it up into the mid-cap range. But by contrast, how can SpaceX be $800 billion? 20 times the size of Rocket Labs? We won't know until they go public. Right. We don't really know where their sales are at. We know that Rocket Lab sales are about a half a trillion a year in sales, which is nothing to sneeze at. But SpaceX dwarfs Rocket Labs, if indeed they come public at $800 billion. But that's what they've been selling shares at recently on the in the private markets. And I guess the liquidity of the events for the employees, that it'd be interesting to know what price they're getting. I'm sure that they would get whatever the company is valued at, and that's $800 billion. Right now. So Rocket Labs is dwarfed. I would think that Rocket Labs would be a much better valuation.
From a relative value standpoint, yeah. I mean, I like your way of thinking in terms of Rocket Labs versus, say, a publicly traded SpaceX, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's the wow factor, and that's Elon Musk. You pay the Elon Musk premium. I mean, you're paying a ridiculous multiple for Tesla when you compare it to Ford, when you compare it to the Chinese EV car makers, when you compare it to GM. Elon gets a huge multiple. So anyways, that was another big winner, Rocket Labs, which is now, they kind of lump all of those defense stocks. There's a sector called aerospace/defense. And all of the space stocks, I mean, eventually they'll probably create a separate sector. There are ETFs on just space. UFO is one of the ETFs.
that's a good symbol. Well, I like that one.
look, this was not a sector 5 years ago. This has all happened in the last 5 years, this whole move to space. 30,000 satellites now. Does SpaceX, does that include the internet, which I have? There's many times when I switch over, when our internet is a little funky, I switch over to Starlink.
I think SpaceX does include Starlink. It's hard to tell sometimes.
So too, yes.
I know Tesla doesn't. It's always hard to figure out what entity is under what in Elon's world. But yeah, I believe Starlink. I would imagine that Starlink has to be connected to SpaceX in some form or fashion.
Well,
otherwise, the revenue and the valuation wouldn't be there.
That's something that Rocket Labs does not have. That SpaceX has. And then, of course, General Electric is kind of on the edge of that sector. General Electric's up 89.2% this year. What a year for General Electric. And then there were some machinery, industrial stocks. Caterpillar was up 61% in 2026. It maintains its relevance. And Cummins Engines, there seems to be some kind of a link between Cummins and the data centers. I don't know what it is. I got to look into that a little bit. But Cummins was up 48.3% this year. Another one that is kind of linked, this whole data center thing, construction and engineering stocks. Tudor Perini was up 183%. That's always been a really boring company in the past until they get involved with data centers. Comfort Systems has never been much of a thing. It's an air conditioning stock. We made a lot of money on it during the year. Comfort Systems up 128%. They make air conditioning for data centers and for hotels and for homes, etc. And then Argan was another one. We owned and made some money in Argan AGX, which also is a data center infrastructure stock, which was another big winner in 2026. And then I'll just take a look at some battleground stocks. Can the health insurers, United Healthcare, ends a seven-day straight session of losses. Now you've got the value investors coming into United Healthcare. Will they become a thing of the past? Will we cut the insurers out and go directly to the consumer themselves with the HSA savings accounts? Well, okay, we're out of time. You had a live show there in the books. If you missed our restaurant show, that was last Wednesday. You can listen to that. I actually visited one of the places that we talked about that day. My mouth was watering by the time we got done with the show, and we tried out one of our places here in Charleston. Had a wonderful meal with in-laws. Anyways, to get a four-week trial, I'm going to come out with my targets and predictions for 2026 in tomorrow's newsletter. Go to GundersonCapital.com to set up an appointment with us to get positioned for 2026. 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. And Greg, stay on the line there for a minute.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.